Thank you, Stuart, for leading us in that song and in this singing service. Thank you, David, for the prayer. I always love to hear that man pray. I'm certainly glad that you're here this evening. Hope that you had a good day, and we hope that we can benefit from being here together this evening as we study from God's Word. I'd like to ask you, what is your quiet place? What's a place that you go to kind of get away from everything? Maybe you have a chair in a back room that you go and you can sit quietly. Maybe you have a long drive to and from work where you can gather your thoughts. All of us probably have some place where we get to do that. My place is the lawnmower. Now you may think that that's silly, but thinking about putting those earplugs in and just kind of zoning out for an hour, kind of gather your thoughts, think about all the things that are going on in your life. Many times I think about what I'm going to preach on next. A few weeks ago, I was mowing our grass at the house, and we live on a fairly busy street. People drive up and down 55, 60 miles an hour. And so it's not uncommon for us to have trash in our yard that gets thrown out of people's cars. And as I was beginning my first loop around the yard, there was a old empty beer can sitting on the side of the street in our yard. And I picked it up, set it in the cup holder there on my lawnmower. I was going to throw it away when I went around back and went past the garbage can. An hour later, as I was parking my mower, I realized that that big, tall beer can was still in the cup holder. And all I could think about was that hour I spent circling the yard and all the people that drove by and how distinctive that can is and how many people must have thought, look at that guy out drinking his beer while he's mowing his grass. Got me thinking about perspective, how we see something that we perceive to be evil, though it may not be. Last week I was mowing the grass again, and I got to thinking about that same situation. And then I started realizing all of the lessons we can learn from our lawnmower. I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you this evening. As we study together, I invite you to take out your Bible and follow along. I'll be reading this evening from the New King James Version. You know, 6 years ago we moved into the house that we're in, and it had a much bigger yard than our previous house, and I had push mowed that yard, and so I wanted a riding lawnmower, and so I went to Lowe's and bought the cheapest riding lawnmower that they had. It's been a good mower, gets the job done. But when I got that mower home, the first thing I did was I took out the instruction manual, kind of checked over what I needed to do to get my mower ready to start mowing the grass. And inside that instruction manual, there was a maintenance list, how often you needed to do certain things before you mowed the grass so that your mower would be prepared. You know, check the oil and check and make sure that you have gas. The time you need to check the air filter, and maybe you need to change it. You need to change that oil and change that oil filter so that your mower can be as prepared as possible when you go to get on it. The same is true for us. We have got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We're going to face things in our lives, and if we're not ready for those things, they may overtake us. We will face temptations, and if we're not ready, we may be overcome. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul tells the Ephesians, you are prepared. We want you to be prepared. You are made with a purpose in this life. Just like that mower. If we don't maintain it, we won't be ready when adversity comes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be useful. He wants us to be ready. You know, every time I go out to mow the grass, there are certain things that you do. If you mow your grass, you probably have a ritual that you go about. You get your mower out a certain way. You fill it up with gas a certain way. I usually like to get the kids and we walk around the yard. We've got a lot of toys at our house and they always wind up all in that backyard. And so we go around in the backyard. We pick up all the toys. Make sure they're not in the grass. Make sure they're out of the way. We've got these two huge poplar trees in the backyard. And if the wind blows even a little, there's going to be limbs fall out of those trees. Sometimes they're the size of a pencil and sometimes they're the size of your arm. Years ago, I ran over one of those limbs. I didn't see it. And it went under, not the blades, but on top of the blades, on top of that mower deck, and it hit one of those pulleys that turns those blades. And it messed that thing up, and I had to replace it. It's very frustrating. And so now we go around to make sure that anything that might harm us is out of the way. There's dangers in our life as well. There are things that affect us. The devil wants to get us. He's going to place things in front of us to try to make us stumble. That's his whole purpose. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." There are things that are a danger to us spiritually. The devil doesn't want us to see them. He doesn't want us to take notice. He just wants it to creep right up on us. Get us when we're not looking. Get us when we're not ready, when we're not prepared. Going back a couple of chapters there, to the first chapter of 1 Peter, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Peter is telling us throughout his letter, you're going to face adversity. There's going to be temptations placed in front of you. The devil is going to try to get us. But we can be prepared. We can be ready to overcome. We have to be willing to, though. We have to be willing to get out and do a little work to ensure that we're prepared. You know, my neighbors can tell you, one thing about my grass is I just really don't enjoy cutting it. So I like to put it off as much as possible. In fact, when it starts getting close where it's really kind of starting to look bad, I kind of think, well, maybe one more day. I'll wait a little bit longer. I've got stuff I want to do today. I'll wait till tomorrow. Then something comes up tomorrow. Or it rains tomorrow. You know, if we're not careful with our grass, it can get away from us. It can be looking really bad just because we didn't stay on top of it. The same can be said for us spiritually. The third verse of Jude says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." He says, I want you to contend earnestly. I don't want you to put things off. I want you to take those things that need to be done and do them. There's nothing more dangerous than putting off spiritual matters in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." Paul commended the Corinthians because they had heard something. They understood it, they believed it, and they stood in it. What about us? How do we treat the gospel? How do we treat our salvation? What is our attitude towards it? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He says, I want you to contend. I want you to be ready. I want you to stand in the gospel, but not just stand in it. I want you to put on the armor of God. I want you to be ready to go to battle if it comes to that. I want you to be ready. You know, sometimes I look out at my yard and I make my entire decision on whether or not I cut my grass based on what my neighbor's grass looks like. And sometimes I think, his grass looks terrible. It doesn't really make my yard look that bad. Mine looks pretty bad, but I mean, his looks way worse. Of course, sometimes I come in after I've mowed our grass and tell Angela, you can't even tell I've been out there. He mows his grass so short, I can mow ours and you can't even tell. Why do we worry so much about the neighbor's yard? Do we do that spiritually? Do we look at other people and say, you know, I'm better than him, so I must be okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Paul tells the Corinthians, you don't worry about what someone else is doing. How many times in our life do we think that, though? You know, I've got sin in my life, but old brother so-and-so's got way more than me. He's in a lot worse shape than I am. I don't need to worry about a thing. Brother so-and-so isn't going to stand on the day of judgment for us. We aren't going to stand for him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own. Have a responsibility to others. We're to look out for each other. I feel like we are commanded to look out for each other and to build each other up, to be concerned with each other's salvation, but first, let's work out our own. Let's make sure we have the ability to stand before someone else, to talk to someone else, and say, "I'm worried about you." Not have them say, "What about this? What about what you've got going on in your life?" Go back a verse there, Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He says, "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. We all will stand before God. And it won't matter what our neighbor's yard looked like. You know, sometimes everything works out just like you want it to. Grass isn't wet. Hadn't been too long since you mowed it. So once you cut it, it looks just like you want it. You might even come inside and your spouse tells you, "Hey, that yard looks pretty good." Your neighbors might even compliment you. Tell you how great it looks. You know, that's a good feeling. To be complimented on something that you've done. Maybe if you take real pride in it, maybe a huge compliment to you. I can't imagine the pride and the joy that we will have as we are before God on the day of judgment. To hear Him say to us, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. The way that you lived your life, well done. The way that you used the abilities that I gave you, well done. The example that you set for others, well done. Enter in to the joys of your Lord. He's preparing a place for us. A place that we are striving to get to. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well done. But sometimes it doesn't go that well. Last year, my mower was about 5 years old. And I will admit that I had never taken the blades off and sharpened them. And I absolutely had never taken them off and replaced them. And so I decided, you know, maybe I'll try to do that this year. And so I took the blades off. They were in pretty bad shape. So I thought, you know, I'll just go buy some new ones. And so I went to Lowe's, and I was standing there before this huge selection of lawnmower blades. Picked out some mulching blades. Supposed to really cut the grass good. Cut it up real fine, make the yard look real nice. Probably too fancy for my cheap old mower. But I bought them anyway. And I went home and I experienced the joys of installing lawnmower blades on a riding lawnmower. And once I finished, I was pretty proud of myself. I was pretty excited about it, ready to get out in the yard and cut that yard. See just how good those blades cut. And so I pulled around to the back of the yard there where I always start, and there's a big tree back there. I turned those blades on, and I started going. And just like 100 times before, I went under that tree, and there's some roots there. As I went over those roots, like I always do, that mower made a sound like I had never heard. And I thought, what have I done? But then it kind of leveled out there, and I thought, well, that's okay. So I'll just keep on going. And then it started getting louder and louder, and dust started coming out that was unusual, and then dirt started coming out, and I thought, something is going wrong. And I turned around, and if you could have seen the disaster that was behind me, looked like I had come down through their pillar. I had bent one of those brand new blades on the root of that tree. And it was just going down through there, churning up dirt and grass and everything else. So I cut those blades off. And I hung my head and I drove back over to the driveway. Started taking those blades back off of the mower. You know, that's the way our life is sometimes. Sometimes things don't go just like you planned it. You know, sometimes in life, you think things are going well, but really it's a disaster area behind you. That's the way our spiritual life is sometimes. There's going to be people who get to the day of judgment who think they've done well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonders in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew You. Depart from Me, You who practice lawlessness. There are times in our lives where we think we are doing okay. But then we look behind. And we start to see more clearly what a mess our life is. Sometimes riding that mower, as loud as it is, and as dusty and dirty as it is, your eyes really start to open up. We really have a lot in common with that mower. Tonight, if you're here and you are not a Christian, you know the difference between right and wrong. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you know that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now is the time. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that is public in nature. You know that your life is a mess and you need to correct it. If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.